Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Welcome, and thank you for joining this week's podcast with the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams. This week's message, the Archbishop talks about how to activate generational blessings. You will be equipped and empowered to deal with every negative blood cycle, every bloodline issue, and understand how to activate every promise of God. Know today that this is your word of deliverance. Be empowered as you listen.
For weeks now, we've been talking about evil patterns or negative patterns. Evil patterns or negative patterns. And we have established that some of these patterns we see in all of our lives are consequences or implications or outcomes of certain wrongs, iniquity, transgressions, or sins of your forefathers or mothers. The Bible said, as your mother, so are you. Like mother, like daughter, like father, like son. When you go to the hospital, they give you forms to fill in, and they want to know some of the diseases that prevails in your family or your bloodline to try to make sense or understand where your crisis or challenges are coming from, because things don't just happen. Please stop being fooled and deceived. That is one of those things. It's a strategy of the enemy to desensitize you and get you to accept things the way they are, that you know what is one of those things. No, it's not one of those things. Nothing just happened. There's always smoke before fire. And so keep that in mind. But today we want to switch from negative patterns. We talked about certain very powerful families like the Onassis, the Rockefellers, the Guinness family. Yeah, we talked about some very powerful families that have existed, and we looked at certain patterns like the JFK family and so many others. Today, we want to shift from negative patterns and talk about positive patterns. And these patterns don't just happen. There's a price to pay. There are things to do to initiate them. And we need to have the awareness of these patterns. We live in a world where people just believe that what you see is what you get. No. There are things beyond what your natural eyes and senses can see or perceive. I'm telling you. So come with me as we begin talking about activating transgenerational blessings. Blessings don't come on a silver platter. People are not just blessed for being blessed. I believe in blessings and I believe in curses. I've seen people curse and I've seen the effect of curses. And I've seen people bless and the effect of blessings. I've seen it. And I believe in blessings. I believe in curses. If you look at Deuteronomy 28, it talks about blessings and it talks about curses. And it talks about things you do to attract blessings and things you do to attract curses. So that is what life is all about. It's full of blessings and curses depending on the choices we make in life. And being aware of this helps you to last. Longevity is not by accident nor by chance. So come with me to Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Galatians 3.
Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law.
So we can be redeemed. These negative patterns in our bloodline and family, we can be redeemed from them. There's a provision made by the bloodshed of Christ, the Christo, the Son of God, made a provision to redeem all of us from certain implications of our bloodline as it relates to curses, evil covenants, and evil altars on which they have made a lot of sacrifices, some even the blood of humans, and they perform all kinds of rituals that have serious implications on the generations after that because of certain things that were done. And I said in the first service, if you have children, you must always be careful what you do to the children of others. And if you have children, it doesn't matter how strong and powerful you are in life, please, you are not greater than scripture. For it is written, whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall also reap. It's just a matter of time. Make no mistakes. Sometimes God can allow things to pass you by, and he will hold it and let it happen to your children and your grandchildren. In their generations, they might not be fortunate. They might not be powerful like you. But for whatever you sown and how you treated other people's children and others will always come back to bite you. It's just a matter of time. I don't care how great you might think you are, how powerful you might be. It's just a matter of time. And if you want to check whether what I'm saying is true or false, study history. And when you study history, you realize that some of the civilizations of old and some of the most powerful armies of all time, like that of Alexander the Great of Greece, passed away. And you realize that some of the most powerful kings, like the pharaohs of Egypt, the King Ahasuerus of the Persian Empire, Nebuchadnezzar of great countries like Babylon, and the emperors of Rome and the Hitlers of Germany, rose and fall, the Gaddafis of Libya and the Saddams have all disappeared from the face of the earth. So if you don't believe, study history. Don't even read the Bible. When you study history, you realize that men have risen, even in this country. Men have risen that were so powerful, so brilliant, and felt they were untouchable because they had access and the ear of the king. And it was just a matter of time. They disappeared like chaff before the wind. But for those who put their trust in God, even as it is written, shall endure like the mountains surrounding Jerusalem. For it is written, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Cursed is he that trusts in the arm of flesh, but blessed is he that trusted in the Lord. I don't know where you derive your confidence from, but the Bible said, let the mighty man not boast in his might, nor the rich man in his riches. Yeah. But let him that boast of this one thing, that he knows I, the Lord, who execute righteousness and justice and judgment on the earth. I don't know where you derive your confidence and your audacity from. But let me tell you, things rise, come, goes, and disappear. But the word of our God shall stand forever. And I will never shift my confidence from scripture to anything else, because I've seen things come and go, and I've concluded, and I am persuaded that one thing that stands the test of time is scripture, that the word of God abideth forever. Put your hands together, please, as we begin our journey. We'll go ahead to look at some of these positive patterns that we need to activate, and then we will pray. We pray for our government, pray for our nation and our continent. We can never relent when it comes to praying for our leaders, irrespective of how you feel about them. It is our duty as believers, not as Christians, because as for that word Christian, everybody is a Christian, including demons. Demons call themselves Christian because it's a very loose word. Because it's not regulated. Everybody is a Christian. They live anyway, anyhow. Do as they please. Call themselves a Christian. And that's why we have many challenges in the Christian community. Because everybody is a Christian, but they don't have the nature of Christ. They don't demonstrate the character of Christ. They live on their own terms. They serve God on their own terms. They don't live by the dictates of the books. They do what they please. But God will uncover and expose all such. But as for those who live by the dictates of the books, God will defend their cause. And anyone seeking an occasion to hurt those who truly believe in the Lord, seeking an occasion to make a statement against us, let them be denied of that occasion. Let them be disadvantaged and disappointed. And let their mouth be shut and their voices silenced. In the name of Jesus, put your hands together and say yes. Go ahead, Bishop. Galatians 3:13-14.
Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law.
So you can be redeemed.
Mm-hmm. Being made a curse for us.
Mm-hmm.
For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
There's a blessing and a promise given to all those who are the seed of Abraham or become the seed of Abraham. And to us believers through Christ Jesus, we are brought into the family and we become partakers of this specific and particular blessing that is a transgenerational blessing. It's given unto us as we become partakers of that Abrahamic covenant. Genesis 11:27-28.
Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldeans.
I pray that none of you, that no parent here will bury your kids. That you will not bury any of your children. And here, the father of Abraham had to bury some of his kids, and he began a journey he wasn't able to finish. I pray that you will finish the race set before you, that you fight this good fight, and you will keep the faith, and that you won't die prematurely, that in the journey of life, you come to the end of the race, that you will see the curtains brought down and the dust settled and water finding its level, and you will not be like Abraham's father. If you believe it, say yes. Put your hands together and give God praise for that. Genesis 11:31. Genesis 11:31-32.
And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son.
So that Lot was Abraham's nephew, right?
And Sarah his daughter-in-law,
mm-hmm.
his son Abram's wife.
Mm-hmm.
And they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran.
So he embarked on a journey with his entire family. He saw some of them die. And he never got to the promised land, and he died prematurely. He left the scene, but God Almighty, knowing the end from the beginning, chose one from among his kids and said, I will show you mercy, and you'll be the chosen to accomplish what your father couldn't accomplish. I will use you to do what your mother and your predecessors were unable to do and accomplish. There's always a chosen one among families. And that's why some of you hearing the sound of my voice, you've been the target of evil. And evil is not satisfied till it destroys good. And the reason why some of you go through some of the struggle and the battles that has confronted you all these years is because you are chosen. Turn to somebody and say, you are the chosen one. You are the chosen one. Yeah, you are the chosen one. You've been chosen. Because God chose Abraham to do what his father couldn't do and said, I'm going to use you to do something different. To begin a new era, a new order, a new family and a generation different from that of your father's generation. And God said, in order for me to accomplish and do with you what I intend to do with you, I need to bring you out. I need to bring you out. That's why Ghana must come out of this IMF grip and hold. That's why Africa must be set free from the grip and influence and the policies of the IMF to a place where we can manage our own resources and we don't have to go to the IMF to seek for help. That is the day of our true independence, when we can manage our resources with our gold, with our cocoa and our oil. We don't really need the IMF, I'm telling you. And if the expert will sit down and speak truth to power, they will tell you that the Archbishop is right. That with oil, cocoa, and gold, we don't need the IMF as a nation or a continent. Put your hands together and give God praise. Your clapping is very weak this morning. You are chosen. And in every family, you realize that the chosen ones of the family will always go through difficult times and situations, and most times they come across as the black sheep of the family. And that was what I was before I got saved. My dad and some of my siblings really didn't understand who I was and what was going on with me. I was targeted by evil. The enemy threw everything at me. My mom used to tell me that anytime I was ill, it was always life and death. The same malaria that hits everybody, when it comes to me, it was like life and death. Everything was serious. I was targeted by the enemy before I even realized that I was chosen. I didn't know who I was. I was lost in the wilderness of life until light shined on me and I could see through my darkness that apparently I've been chosen. And to everyone hearing the sound of my voice, when you are the chosen vessel among your siblings, you will always be under attack. There will always be demonic concentration on you, whilst others are left free to have it easy. Everything will come easy for others, but it will always be a fight for you because you are chosen. Put your hands together if you believe you are chosen. Joshua chapter 24, verse 2 to 3, quickly.
And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus says the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of
your
the flood.
Your fathers dwell on the other side. May I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, that irrespective of how beautiful you want to paint your family, your background, your father's house, your mother's house, they did indeed dwell on the other side of Adonai. Kudalika Salah. They dwell on the other side. They weren't on the side of God. They were on the other side. Go ahead.
Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time. Even Terah, the father of Abraham.
That was Abraham's father. He dwelt on the other side. Go ahead.
And the father of Nahor. And they served other gods.
They served other gods.
And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac.
So he said, I chose Abraham just as you have been chosen and I'm chosen. We were chosen, selected, taken out from the other side of where our fathers and our mothers belonged. A generation that had no understanding and illumination of the Most High. They served God on their own terms and did the best they could based on the kind of light they had in their days. They didn't know the living God. And God said, I pulled Abraham out. I said, Abraham, your fathers failed in arriving at the promised land. They began the journey, but they couldn't finish it. But you have been chosen, and in order for you to become and to build for me a new generation and an era of people who know the living God, I have to pull you out from your background. I'm taking you out from your country, your kindred, your father's house, to something different from the other side and from what you are used to. If God is going to use you and I, we need to be separated. We need to be separated from where we've come from. We need to be pulled out. We need to be redeemed disentangle, disengage, and set free from our background and the details of the other side and the rules and the engagements of the other side to this side of Jordan. Proverbs 10:22.
The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he added no sorrow with it.
This is what eludes people in life. People think that blessing has everything to do with hard work. Hard work is good and is great. It has everything to do with skill, brilliance, intelligence, speaking the Queen's English or slang, or the school you attended. It has nothing to do with all those things. Those things are great and is good. But I'm talking about something greater, better, and beyond all that. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Riches are products of the blessing of the Lord. And when you have never known the blessing of the Lord, you will toil all the days of your life. And what you can accomplish within a year can take you 10 or 20 years. But with the blessing of the Lord, with the blessing of the Lord, you are distinguished from others. Ladies and gentlemen, with the blessing of the Lord, it doesn't take that much to make a difference. With the blessing of the Lord, you can become a game changer, a curse breaker, an icon, and a wonder in your generation. Put your hands together and give him praise. Genesis 13 and verse 2.
And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold.
So, underline the word. These are part of the blessing. These are some of the benefits of the blessing of the Lord, that Abraham was not just rich, but very. Very means he was a mogul. Means that the dude was sitting pretty. Means that he had deep pockets. The dude was no joke. He wasn't a politician. He was in a strange land, and yet very, very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold in those days. Dulaki Salah, Makutuliki Hafasa. Genesis 14:14.
And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born 318, and pursued them unto Dan.
This man was a different kind of animal. He was a nation within a nation, a city within a city, a community within a community, a kingdom within a kingdom. He was no small dude. The dude was heavy. He was so blessed to the point where he had 318 bodyguards born in his house, trained by himself to protect him and protect all that he had. That was how heavy the dude was. He wasn't a politician. He was an ordinary citizen. He was one that believed in God, a friend of God, had faith in the Most High God. And God gave him such an upper hand and dominion that for all times, no man has ever lived that large and yet was humble. When you can be great and you can be mighty and yet be humble and still maintain the common touch, you are somebody. You are going somewhere. And that is what eludes so many people. A little power, and they become so arrogant, so boastful and prideful, and think they have arrived. And it's just a matter of time, they are reduced to nothing. Reduced to nothing. We need to learn humility. We need to learn how to maintain the common touch, irrespective of how big and great and relevant we become in life. We can never mishandle, mistreat people, and despise humanity because of access or silver or gold. Those things means nothing. Human beings worth more than all the trillions of dollars that this world can put together. For we've seen many with so much influence and wealth and money and power that when the day came for them to die, none of those things could save them And they left it all behind and had to go away. Ladies and gentlemen, let us learn to be humble. Let us learn, irrespective of access, power, influence, or wealth, to stay humble. And learn how to respect people because they are humans and not because of what they have or what they offer us. If we only treat people well because we have need of what they have or we need them, it reveals that something is wrong with us and our motives. Let us treat people as people. During the genocide in Rwanda, it was said that most of the families of the other side that were preserved were protected by the workers in their homes. And when the other tribe came to take the lives of their masters, they came out to defend their masters and said, they are not in, they've left. And they protected their masters because they were treated well and good and right by their masters. And there were other tribes and other servants who gave up their masters to be slaughtered and killed in cold blood because they weren't nice to them. They weren't good. They mishandled them because they thought they had made it. And so when the hour came, they felt like, you know something, we can't protect you because when it was well with you, you mistreated and you mishandled us. It is said and believed that true success of life has nothing to do with houses you build or how deep pocket you have or the things you achieve in life, but has everything to do with the difference you made in the life of others. So please take a time, take a moment in life, in your good days and your good time, be kind to somebody, especially if you have children. Be kind. Do good by others. And let me tell you something, it's not easy to do good because most times the people you help the most are those who will stab you at the back. But still be kind. Be kind because you reap what you sow. I have been wounded. I have been betrayed by so many in life. And yet, I have never relented when it comes to doing right by others. I've made up my mind that I'll keep doing right by others and let them reap what they sow. You do right by me, it's your cup of tea. You do wrong by me, it's your cup of tea. Make no mistakes. You will reap what you sow. If you don't reap it in your days, your children and your children's children will reap it. It will come back to bite somebody in your bloodline. That is what life is all about. Shall we proceed? Genesis 24 and verse 1.
And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things.
In all things, not in some. Well stricken in age, old, blessed in all things. And that is a blessing of God. That you are not just blessed in some things, but in all things. It's part of the Abrahamic blessings. Somebody say, Lord. Come on, let me hear. Say, Lord, do it again. Genesis 24 and 35.
And he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he is become great, and he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses.
This was the first generation. Look at the kinds of blessings the man had. In everything, he was blessed in everything. Now, let's look at transgeneration. It moved from Abraham to the next generation, Isaac, Genesis 26, 12 to 14.
Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him.
You see, this was second generation. This is what we call transgenerational blessing. For whatever reason, in Africa and in Ghana, you don't see too much of second generation wealth. If you call some of the names, which I don't want to, you realize that there were men, old money in this country and in many parts of Africa like Nigeria and some places, that were very wealthy in their days. It was just a matter of time when they passed on, when they died. Their wealth ended with them when they were buried. It didn't move on. Because for whatever reason, these were fathers that never acknowledged the Most High, and they did not succeed or made their wealth through the principles of the books. They made it through other means, but not through the Most High God. And they did not prepare their children for the wealth they have acquired. They prepared the future for their kids, but their kids were not prepared for the future. It's two different things. It's one thing to give them wealth. It's another thing to teach them how to acquire wealth, to increase and to maintain wealth. But I pray that there will be a generation in our days, in your day, in my time, a generation that have received of the blessing of God Almighty and have learned how to pass it on to future generations, for them to continue to maintain it from one generation to another generation. Please put your hands together and thank God for that. Look at the third generation. Genesis 30 and 43. Third generation.
And the man increased exceedingly, and had much cattle, and maidservants, and men servants, and camels, and asses.
When you look at the scriptures carefully, you see a particular pattern. Somebody say a pattern. Somebody talk to me, say pattern, pattern, patterns. You see a particular pattern moving from one generation to another generation. That the same pattern in the life of Abraham, first generation, Isaac, second generation, Jacob, third generation, even to the 14th generation. Come with me to 1 Chronicles 29, verse 4 to 5.
Verse 2 to 4.
1 Chronicles 29. Yes, Bishop.
Now I have prepared with all my might.
This is the 14th generation.
Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for the things to be made of gold.
Same pattern.
And the silver for the things of silver.
Same pattern.
And the brass for the things of brass.
Same pattern.
The iron for the things of iron.
Same pattern.
And wood for the things of wood.
Same pattern.
Oiling stones and stones to be set. Glistering stones and of diverse colors. And all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God.
So look at this guy. He said, my love. You know, President Kufuor said something some years ago to Rosa. He said, the problem of Africa or Ghana is not corruption. It's lack of love for country. Because you don't exploit what you love. You never take advantage of what you love. And the reason for the problems on this continent and on this country. You know, the other day I was talking to one of my son's bishop, and he was telling me about an interview that was made after Dr. Kwame Nkrumah came out of prison when he was in Usher for 1951. He came out, and the then British government told him to set up a government. So he set up 11 people, three, one as finance minister, defense minister, and there's another minister, finance, defense, and another. And the eight were Ghanaians. And these three whites were giving an interview of some of the encounters they had that really shocked them. And it was that the eight Ghanaians who were added to the three of them to help in the governance of country when Dr. Kwame Nkrumah set up his government, all the eight were cutting deals. Their interest was deals. Even where there were no deals, they were cutting deals. And so this problem, as President Kufuor said, goes back. It's a very deep issue. It's not a curse. God didn't curse us as blacks because he gave us more natural resources than any continent of the world. We have brought curses on ourselves. We brought curses on ourselves for not loving ourselves and for not loving our country. And for having self-hatred for ourselves. We choose to allow any national to come into this country and get blessed. And it doesn't bother us. But we will fight our own, oppose our own for getting blessed. There's an issue here. And that kind of behavior brings self-imposed curses. That's what I call self-imposed curses. We bring it upon ourselves because we take advantage of what we should protect. We exploit ourselves, and that brings a curse. Until we learn as a people and a nation to love one another, to value what we have, to celebrate our heroes, we'll never go anywhere as a people. We celebrate heroes of other countries, and yet we have heroes in this land. We never celebrate our own heroes. We celebrate others. And until the day we learn to celebrate one another and stop cursing one another and stop cursing our leaders, and the day we stop, like I said, we won't pray. We won't pray for our leaders. We wait till they start, till they begin to make mistakes. Then we begin to criticize them. But the thing is not wait till they make mistakes. It's to pray for them now so they don't make the mistakes for us to have opportunity to criticize them. And that is a discipline. It's an attitude that is required of all of us to have. Praying for those in authority, especially the president, that he will not err in the choices and decisions he makes and the placements, but that he will have the discernment and the wisdom to know who to put where, because it's tough, it's difficult to be in charge. I'm a leader. I know that you can be easily exploited. You can have people around you who are singing your praise. The president, your excellency, is all a lie. They have their own agenda. And they come so loyal to your cause, but they have an agenda. Because I've sat with many former presidents, and when they tell you their stories, the surprise of it. Talking to President Rawlings some time ago, we're having tea. We used to meet every now and then. I think I had a picture on the first service. And we're talking about something, and I mentioned something to him that he was aware of, and only find out when he was out of office how one can so be manipulated by those around you, come across so loyal, so lawful, so loyal, and yet they are using you without knowing they are using you. They'll do everything to win your confidence, and after they've gained and won your confidence, then they'll carry out their plans when it's too late. You know? And these things do happen to leaders. And that's why it is our duty to pray and intercede for those in authority. Put your hands together and say, I hear you. One of the things David did was to pray. We call it transgenerational prayers. It's always important for us to pray for our kids, because you never know the things that will happen in their days. And you must never be so arrogant where you take things for granted, because you never know what happens to those who come after you. Psalm 72 verse 15, David prayed a prophetic prayer. We call it transgenerational prayer. He prayed for Solomon long before he died. And look at the result of his prayers for Solomon. Go ahead.
And he shall live.
This was his father. This was David praying for Solomon, that Solomon may live and not die prematurely, even after he was gone. Because he knew that after his departure, strong men and strong people will come against Solomon. So he said, I'm putting prayers over him and around him right now in advance. Go ahead.
And he shall live.
Uh-huh.
And to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba.
He said, let him not just live, but let him possess the gold of Sheba. In those days, Ethiopia, Sheba, has the richest gold on the earth. He said, let him have dominion, access, possess the gold of Sheba. Go ahead.
Prayer also shall be made for him continually.
And he recognized one of the things that kept him successful throughout his reign, 40 years as king over the state of Israel, was prayer. And he said, it's one thing apart from gold and the fact that I want him to live, he must never miss. And that is, let prayer be done for him continuously without ceasing. That is something David said must never be played with. Go ahead.
And daily shall he be praised.
Daily shall he be praised. Go ahead.
There shall be a handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruits thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like the grass of the earth.
Well, when you take your time and read it, you see how David interceded for Solomon. And years after he had passed away and moved on, the queen of Sheba was sitting down, and the prayers of David, who had gone to be with the Lord, suddenly arrested her spirit. And she rose up and said, I must go to Israel. I must fulfill the prayers of David. And he took gold. If you take your time, you will see the amount of gold she carried with her and everything else, and came to Israel and placed them at the feet of Solomon in response to the prayers of his dead father. And Solomon had abundance of gold, and because the father prayed in advance that these things will be laid at his feet and at his disposal. Never underestimate your father's prayers or your mother's prayers. See, I hear you. Come on, put your hands together, somebody. First Kings, chapter 10, verse 10 to 11.
And she gave the king 120 talents of gold.
Look at the things she brought to him in response to his father's prayers. Who is praying for you? Who has prayed for you? Go ahead.
And of spices, very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Mm-hmm. And the navy also of Hiram that brought gold from Ophir, brought in from Ophir great plenty of almug trees and precious stones.
All of this was a result of father's prayers. Who has prayed for you? Who is praying for you? Oh, Masala Kusalia. 2 Chronicles, chapter 1, 14 and 15.
And Solomon gathered chariots and horsemen.
Listen.
And he had 1,400 chariots.
Listen.
And 12,000 horsemen,
mm-hmm.
which he placed in the chariot cities,
mm-hmm.
and with the king at Jerusalem. And the king made silver and gold at Jerusalem mm-hmm. as plenteous as stones.
As plenteous as stones.
Mm-hmm. And cedar trees made he as the sycamore trees
mm-hmm.
that are in the vale for abundance.
Same parents. Right from the first generation to the 15th generation, there were patterns of blessings. Silver and of gold, horses and of chariots, and of cattle, moving from one generation to another generation. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been chosen for such a time like this to begin a new era and a new family. That whatever these evil patterns may be in your bloodline, it ends with you, and the generations after you will experience the Abrahamic blessing. If you agree with me, put your hands together. Let me give you one scripture, and then let us pray. 2 Timothy 1 and the 5th verse. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5.
When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois.
It was first in your grandmother.
And then
it just didn't happen to you, Timothy. This faith you have, this Christian attitude and character and audacity you manifest, was first in your grandmother. It's a transgenerational blessing. What kind of faith do you have in you? And what kind of faith was transferred to you by your grandfather and grandmother to your dad and your mom? Look at it. Transgenerational blessing. Mm-hmm.
And thy mother Eunice,
mm-hmm.
and I'm persuaded that in thee also.
So, read it again.
When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee.
Uh-huh. In thee.
Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois.
It was first in your grandmother Lois.
And thy mother Eunice.
Then it came to your mom Eunice.
And I'm persuaded that
and now
in thee also.
Is in you. The third generation. Transgenerational blessing. How I pray for someone listening to the sound of my voice, that you would demonstrate the faith of God and transfer it to your children after you, and to their children, and to their generation in their generations. God said to Abraham, he said, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed after you. Genesis 22. And I think the 17th verse, he said, and thy seed shall possess the gates of their enemies. I was talking to a Jewish friend of mine yesterday, and I wanted us to have a meeting yesterday. He said to me, he said, Papa, today is Sabbath. Today is Sabbath. I'm going to the synagogue to pray. Can we shift it to another day, but not today? And the meeting is so very important. It's about him, not me. But he said, it's Sabbath. I'm going to pray. And that is the problem with the so-called Christians. We call ourselves so loose that on Sunday morning, when I'm supposed to be in church, is the day you book appointment to have meetings with people and to wash your car. On Sunday morning, when you have to be in church, you are so busy having appointments, missing services, because you don't know the value and the importance of honoring your time with Adonai. Honoring your time, taking seriously, and letting people know that when it comes to your time of serving God and worshiping God, you don't play with it. You know, someone was just telling me, whether it's true or not, I don't know, about Alhaji Banda. He was my father's friend, and every now and then he would come see me and sit down and talk to me, and he would tell me stories about my father that I didn't even know of. And he passed away recently, and I was told that he said before they read his will and follow his orders and instructions in his will, he started building a mosque, and he built a lot of mosques. And he said until they finished that mosque, the will shouldn't be touched. Everything should be concentrated on the mosque, and after that they can read his will and share whatever he left behind. That is the kind of faith I'm talking about. That people so believe in a cause that they live for it and they die for it. Are you so committed to your faith as a Christian? And what do you leave behind to tell the story to your kids and to your grandchildren that you weren't playing with God, that you meant business with God? A lot of believers, when they die, their children will never serve God, because their children will know that our father, our mother, or granddad, or mother was playing with God. They weren't serious with God. It's your will and your last wishes that will tell your children whether you were serious with God or you were playing with God. Because what you love the most will be revealed in your will. When Jesus hung on the cross and the mother came by the cross, and John, the disciples whom he loved, came, he said, Son, behold your mother. Now, he said, I'm gone, but you are here. So, my mother becomes your responsibility. And he said, Mom, behold thy son. That was his last wishes. Whether you serve God right or wrong, or whether you really meant business when you were alive, will be seen in your last wishes. It will be revealed in your will, what you leave behind. Whether you left something behind for the work of God and the church or not, will be revealed. And that is when your kids will know that grandfather or grandmother was playing with God and really did serve God. It is my prayer and my desire that you will not misunderstand all that I have said, but you have clear understanding of what I have said, and you live your life to the fullest, that when it is all over, it shall be clear that you didn't play with God, that you meant business with God. Please stand on your feet.
We know you are blessed by that word of God, and look forward to you joining the messages of the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams again. For more information on our events, books, and messages, please visit NDW Ministries online at www.ndwministries.org or call our offices on +1 877 361 5111. Once again, thank you for joining the Archbishop today, and may you continue to experience the life-transforming power of God's blessings.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055, +233 26 767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com, info@godswordforus.com.